Welcome to Blast the Past, a talk show where we revisit the media that shaped our culture.
Each week, we're going to look at old movies or TV shows or not books. Okay, I can read. I choose not to. And we're just going to kind of revisit them just to kind of see if they still hold up by today's standards.
And today, we're going to set our dials back to 1984, a time where arcades were both profitable and full of raucous, unchecked teenagers. And also a time when The Karate Kid came out of nowhere and took the world by storm. And this week, we are talking about the 1984 hit, Karate Kid.
And it was a hit. I mean, I remember this when I was a kid. I was born in 82, so it had been out. By the time it hit my radar, I was probably watching it on VHS or something, or catching it on TV. I vividly remember this one. This was a huge sensation. I don't know how far it was between Karate Kid 1 and Karate Kid Part 2, if you know, fill us in. But this was a big one. I mean, this, and even today, it kind of resonates with a lot of kind of pop culture references, you know, wax on, wax off. You know, you might still hear that every now and then. You don't hear it as much as you used to, but, you know, it had a lot of things, and it was an interesting movie. It was nice to go back and revisit it, for sure, because it definitely hits different when you're not in the 1980s or the early 90s or whenever, you know, you might have watched it in the past.
Dude, it's a serious.
I probably watched it in the 80s. Yeah.
It's a serious period piece. Like, it looks and feels like the 80s. That's, like, the first thing that I noticed about it watching it a couple nights ago was, holy crap, this is, like, these is all hell.
The haircuts is what really makes a good 80s movie. You cannot recreate that in 2025. I dare you to go to the best hairstylist in town and say, give me any haircut from Cobra Kai today. They could not do it. They would not know what to do or how to do it. It was all bangs. Like, the bangs would start from, like, halfway up the head. There was a scene where Johnny is dancing with Emily Hsu,
yeah,
like, later in the movie. You catch him at an angle where I swear to God, his bangs start at, like, the crown of his head. It is just, like, the gnarliest bangs. And it's not just him. It's, like, half the people in Cobra Kai had these bangs that you just could not recreate.
Dude, all the guys in Cobra Kai have, like, such a energy to them. I, like, you know, like, these goons in films, I feel like, from that era are just always, like, so hyped up on, like, you know, something, you know, maybe it's speed. Maybe they're just, like, ADHD is all hell, but they're
one
just
of them is definitely coked out. And he's, yeah, also 41 years old. The guy with bleach blonde hair, yeah, is 41 years old.
And he looks like he just, like, popped out of Grease and landed in the wrong, yeah, movie.
Dude, that guy, I love that guy. I'm sure he's died of old age by now. But
no question. He had to have been, like, 36.
He is not alive. That guy was old, man. And he ain't alone. Elizabeth Shue. Let's talk about Elizabeth Shue. Was she, like, 27?
I looked up some of the ages of the kids because, honestly, I thought the movie did a good job of, like, casting real high school kids for the most part. Elizabeth Shue, questionable. But it turns out Ralph Macchio was, like, is it Macchio? It's probably Macchio.
Macchio.
Was 22 years old. And I would have thought he was 16.
He looked 16.
Yeah,
they did a great job with him.
Yeah, Elizabeth Shue, wow, I think, was 22 as well. The only one that was actually of age was Johnny. Is it William Zabka? He was 18 years old. He was exactly the age.
Oh, wow. Fun fact, Mr. Miyagi, 31 in this.
Yeah, right.
And of course, I'm talking about Noriyuki Morita. I didn't realize his name, Pat Morita's name, was Noriyuki. So, fun fact. Learned that in the closing credit.
Yeah. All right, there you go.
Yeah, so Johnny's 18.
But yeah,
okay.
I saw something about how he wanted to put his, like, actual Japanese name in the credits just to let everybody know he was really Japanese, because I guess he had been on Happy Days before, and that wasn't, like, the credited name that they gave him on that previously. There's a lot of, like, really cool trivia facts about this movie.
I can see it. Let's go over them. I would love to hear them. I mean,
yeah,
that's
we'll hit that a little later in a different segment.
Right.
This movie was directed by John G. Alvinson, who directed the first Rocky film as well. He came, like, pretty much hot off of Rocky straight to Karate Kid. Not necessarily straight.
Wow.
I think there was something in between, but they're actually, you know, structured similarly as well. And, you know, they both definitely, the climax of both films, you know, kind of have, like, the big fight scene and everything. So I thought that was interesting. And then written by Robert Mark Kamen. Never heard of this guy, but he wrote The Fifth Element and Taken, which were two movies that I... Fifth Element I grew up watching, and then Taken, I probably only seen it once, but I remember liking that a lot when it came out.
Yeah, I saw Fifth Element in theaters, and this is one of those things that sticks out. I love that movie. Fantastic movie. Also, Mila Jovovich in a dress that was nothing more than like electrical tape. I mean, if that didn't do it for you, I don't know what did. I didn't know that, man. Like, those are some heavy hitters. You're talking about directing Rocky. What was Rocky, like 78?
That sounds about right. Late 70s, okay. It seems like.
Late 70s. So, and then 84. So probably wrapped up Rocky, and we'll say 77, maybe, I don't know. And then wrapped this up in like 83.
Yeah.
I mean, those are some juggernauts there, especially at that time. I mean, you know, obviously Rocky's Rocky, but Karate Kid, man, that was a big one.
Yeah.
And it really did feel like it had a good... It had a good, like, 1984 feel to it.
Yes.
And if you're my age, and you know, you look back fondly on that, but I could see somebody watching this today who's, like, 19 and being like, this sucks.
I could see that as well. And, you know, I think a lot of people around that age are probably going back to experience it because of Cobra Kai, the Netflix show that's extremely popular. Have you seen that?
I have not. I've heard good things.
Dude, I rewatched the first couple episodes after I finished Karate Kid last night. It's hilarious. And I remember watching it around, you know, COVID time, getting really into it. And I love it. It made me really hate Ralph Macchio and love William Zabka, or, you know, the characters they play. I shouldn't say hate the people. But I love Johnny Lawrence now, and I really dislike Daniel LaRusso. And even watching Karate Kid after seeing Cobra Kai, I was like, man, this Daniel kid kind of sucks.
It does suck. He deserved every beating he got.
He sort of does.
And he got a lot.
He certainly got a lot, yeah.
It's a two-hour movie that could have been like 90 minutes if you just cut out all the beatings he gets. Like, just the first hour and 20 minutes is just Daniel's son getting whooped. One after the next. I mean, it's like,
yeah,
good God.
Thrown down a cliff off of his bike.
That was violent.
That was
I feel bad for that stunt man. It was way older. Like, you got a good shots of him when he was tumbling and like faced the camera, and you could tell that was like a I'm gonna get you suck a moment, you know.
I'm all for a little bullying at school, but like, you don't want to have murder on your resume before you turn 18, you know.
That could have been bad. He landed on a rock,
right?
Like, when his body finally came to a stop, it was on a stone. Like, that's where he was. That could have been real bad.
Okay, so before we move on from just overview of the film, a summary from IMDb. This story, if you haven't seen it, or if you need a little memory jogging, it's about a kid who relocates from New Jersey to Los Angeles, and Daniel is the kid's name. He becomes a target of a gang of Cobra Kai dojo students. It's like the silliest plot of all time, but it definitely works. And then suddenly this old man who has an affinity for bonsai trees kind of interferes with the gang beating the crap out of Daniel for the fourth or fifth time in the movie, saves him.
I lost count.
Yeah, and Daniel convinces him to teach him to defend himself and finally puts the bullies in their place. But, you know, that's kind of leads us to what The Karate Kid is as a genre. And it's definitely a coming-of-age story. It's definitely a high school drama. But it's also your typical kind of sports formulaic film following like an underdog kid who becomes, you know, the ultra athlete in the end and wins the big championship. So we'll kind of go piece by piece, but what makes this a good kind of high school drama, high school comedy film in your eyes?
Well, you got to have the relocation. That's key, because okay. You got to fish out of water. And let's talk about the relocation, if you don't mind, right from the start of this. When him and his mother moved from Newark, New Jersey to Reseda, California, which is 2,869 miles, and they do it in a Chevy.
In a station wagon that can't hardly start.
Station wagon that many times does not start and has to be pushed. It's 5-speed, too, by the way. You got a manual station wagon going from Newark, New Jersey to Reseda, California, and If you want to talk about a lightly packed car, they had a single bike strapped to the hood of the car, and you can see through the window, there's a one laundry basket,
Dude, I noticed
one
that.
box, and one suitcase.
Yeah, definitely light
Pack and
packing.
light. Yeah, pack and light. Here's my guess.
But
Rent was due.
they did tack a dog bowl for, an unnamed pet.
I didn't even recognize that, but I feel like rent was due, and they just skipped out of town in the like dead of night, like thieves in the night. Him and his mom just packed up to avoid rent and just went all the way across the country because it really makes no sense as to like they never really tell you why they moved from Newark, New Jersey to California. Because she says at one point when she's working at a restaurant and she goes, when I was, she goes, she finally gets work benefits as a waitress who's about to get promoted to manager of a restaurant, okay, in Reseda. And then she makes the comment of, I finally get benefits. I didn't get this when I was working in computers.
Yeah. What, like, well, first of all, Daniel does tell that one kid that she's moving there for like a computer tech job, and then she's waiting tables.
Not only
So,
is she waiting tables, she's working her way up the ladder. She's
yeah.
already manager.
Yeah, like, go get a job at the Melting Pot in New Jersey. I mean,
There you go.
why do you have to move across country to wait tables?
Makes no sense. You pack light. You fill up the Chevelle, well, I think it was a Chevelle or a Chevette station wagon, and then hit the road. And I love how they go, like you're seeing the road trip scene across the country, but it seems to go from Newark, New Jersey, straight to Arizona.
Yeah, they
And
missed a
then they
lot
just
of
kind of,
the
you
East
don't see
Coast.
the Midwest, you don't see East Coast, there's no Ohio Valley, straight to Arizona. And then you get like 7 minutes of Arizona.
Yeah, that's a good
You know,
point.
like they're really showing off Arizona in multiple scenes. Pretty sure they're getting a hotel. Apparently, that she drove from Newark straight to Arizona with no sleep. Good luck on that. It's like 2,000 miles, 2,200 miles.
Yeah, that's a 3-day drive.
Yeah. She probably had some of that coke from the 41-year-old Cobra Kai guy just keeping her up. And so, I mean, it's a coming-of-age tale because you see the growth of a, high school kid who's fish out of water, transplants across the country. Now he doesn't know the California ways, which apparently you just get beat up. Like that's like, so much for California being such a welcoming state. 1984, not so much.
Right. Yeah. One of the things that stuck out to me, we already kind of touched on this, is like it did, the kids kind of felt like high school kids to me. A lot of times when you see high school stories, the kids look like they're like 25, 28 years old, and it kind of, lifts you out of the story. For me, most of them looked kind of the part. Another thing about Daniel LaRusso, even though we were giving him a hard time for being kind of annoying, he does seem like a normal dude. He doesn't seem like a Hollywood actor. Like he's not like he's very twiggy. He's not like extremely handsome. He's got like very normal like cadence to his speech, very very New Jersey. But also like the things that he says almost seem, like lifted from like what a normal teenager would say. Sometimes he tries to act, I think, a little older than he is, and that's probably, the fact that, he doesn't have a dad in his life, but that helps the movie out a great deal, I think. So,
Yeah,
as far as the
I
high
thought
school
he was
drama.
very genuine. Yeah, he seemed very genuine. I guess they were casting like a real, Italian teenager with zero karate
Yeah,
ability,
he looks
and they
like he
nailed
has
it.
zero karate ability for sure.
Kudos to the casting department of this one. They really did do a good job. I feel like every character was cast well. I
Yeah.
would say that.
100%. So what makes this a good sports film, in your opinion? We talked about the high school.
I don't think it is a good sports film,
Okay.
to be honest. I don't think it is because there's very little sport unless Daniel getting kicked down a cliff is a sport. If that's a sport.
You got to start from somewhere, right? You got to learn how to take the fall,
Yeah.
and
I
then
mean,
you can learn how to wax a car.
even his training is nothing more than like slave labor. And then he gets one lesson when he's absolutely had enough. And to me, that was the best scene in the movie. When Daniel has absolutely had enough, he's waxed cars, he's washed cars, he's sanded the deck, he painted the house. After all that, he just blows up, drops a couple goddams, which I had to check the rating on this, PG.
Right, of
Was
course.
this pre?
This is pre-PG.
Yeah, that was one of the Indiana Jones movies, right? That was what created the PG-13, if I'm
I
not
think it
mistaken.
was Temple of Doom, yeah.
Yeah, I think
It's
that
definitely
sounds
not
right.
Raiders of the Lost Ark, because that's
Maybe,
PG.
so I think it's whatever one where they pull the heart out. I think
Yep.
that's the one.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's definitely when you go from PG to R, there's like a big gap there. And
Right.
while there was, there was a good amount of violence, not super gory, obviously. It's just like bruised foreheads and skinned elbows from getting tossed down the side of a cliff. But there's some language in this, which I was kind of shocked to see PG, but now it makes more sense. It was pre Indiana Jones or pre PG-13. So I don't think it was a great sports movie because there wasn't much sport. I mean, they don't really get sport until the last 20 minutes when the tournament starts. Other than that, you don't really get much at all. I mean, when he's doing his training and having his come up and, progressing, there's not much sport. I
Right.
mean, he's literally just doing yard work and then he goes to the beach.
You do get a classic training montage. You get highlighted by some very campy 80s music. But
Yeah.
yeah, you're right. I
Love the
mean,
music in this movie. Loved it. Music, fantastic.
it
Fantastic.
is extremely 80s. I mean, it's another one of those things that just completely puts it in its period, in its time, and I never grew up with any of these songs, so I can't say it hit for me extremely hard, but I did notice the intro and then the music that's at like the end of the karate tournament that's like extremely joyous, and I can't remember what that one's called, but it
You're
seemed
the best
you're the best, yeah.
was playing. You're the best.
Yep, that's it. I was like,
Like
I know that's a
that
classic
was,
song.
yeah. I mean, that's, yeah, that hits
And
for sure. Still hits.
I looked that one up because I was like, "Oh, did this come from Karate Kid?" And it did. It was actually written for Rocky III, and then they used it for The Karate Kid. But yeah, I think it was a pretty good sports film. Personally, I think most good sports films kind of shy away from a lot of sport, ironically, just because it can be kind of boring to show that most of the time. But yeah, in a lot of ways, sports films and coming of age have so much in common because it's one character going through a lot of growth and making a lot of change. Okay, so we have talked about where this film kind of came from a little bit, but really it was kind of a out of nowhere success. This movie was made for $8 million in 1984. And yes, it had a esteemed director attached to it. Rocky had won, I think, Best Picture by then. If not, it was definitely celebrated by critics and made money as well. Grossed $130.8 million in the box office on $8 million, and then was the top rental video in 1985. I couldn't find any
See that?
numbers on cable television, but you mentioned watching it on cable growing up. I know I watched it on cable growing up. It was on cable like ad nauseum in the 90s and 2000s. So I mean, in a lot of ways, it's just maintained popularity in culture throughout these 40 years since it's been released, which is quite wild. And I watched it on cable. This, I guess, what 2024 cable is, YouTube TV. I watched it on YouTube TV to check this out, because apparently for Netflix to watch it, you have to have like the premium version, the non-ad paid, and we only have like the $7.99 version in my house. So
Oh, I watched it on Netflix. I didn't even know there were ads on Netflix.
yeah, you can buy a cheaper version, but then you like, I guess there's like two times in my entire like Netflix life since I've joined the $7.99 tier, has there been a movie that was like locked out, and Karate Kid was one of them. So
What was the other?
I can't remember the other one. It was another like 80s or 90s like classic movie. So what I'm thinking is they're probably paying for the rights for these movies, and then that has to go under, some kind of lock or pay. It was popular too. It was something similar to The Goonies or something like that. And maybe it was Gremlins, I don't know. Yeah, but I was in the mood for something 80s-ish. All right, so the studio. Okay, one of my favorite scenes in this movie was the drunk Miyagi scene. Do you remember that one? He's
Yeah,
just
no
like,
discipline. Lack,
yeah.
absolute lack of discipline from Miyagi.
He's completely toasted, but it is also one of the most heartfelt scenes in the movie. It really slows the pace down because it's kind of right in the middle of things. And the studio wanted to cut this scene out. Like, they were arguing hard for it.
Smart.
And the director was like, "No, you cannot. This is like the heart of the movie." And he later went on to say that this is the reason that Pat Morita, I don't really know how to pronounce the last name, got nominated for Best Actor for his Oscar.
Well, I'm gonna say this. I thought that was scene was completely out of place, and that was his worst acting in the entire film.
What? No, I thought it was pretty good. Well, so Mr. Miyagi's drunk in the scene. He's celebrating an anniversary, reveals that he served in the army in the 440 Regimental Combat Team. And this unit was composed of like mostly Japanese Americans. Many of them had been in internment camps before, and they fought in Europe during World War II. But it became the most highly decorated unit in the history of the United States military. And I thought it was an interesting, just like slice of history to get, you know. And then he later reveals that his wife died in one of these internment camps. It's just kind of a dark spot in America's history that's swept under the rug oftentimes. And I thought that was an interesting little slice to kind of work into the movie. It did not add like a whole lot to the story, except for some really good backstory to Miyagi, who, in my opinion, is what really makes this movie great. I don't think without Miyagi, I don't think this is like a movie that stands the test of time like it has, personally.
Well, I'm glad you said that about the army part because I must have missed that. I thought he fought for Japan. I was like, we let this traitor into the country, bombing Pearl Harbor and teaching our kids karate. I mean, come on. So I'm glad you told me that because I didn't catch that part. I remember him drunkenly stumbling around, and then Daniel's son has to put him to bed. And was that a place for that? Was one, I thought the acting was horrible. I don't think Noriyuki Morita has been drunk once in his life. Okay, I think he was in uncharted territories, and it also showed like a lack of discipline from a guy who's supposed to be the arbiter of discipline. You know, he's trying to lead Daniel down this, you know, karate path, and he's like, "I am your master, you are my student," and then he just gets, you know, absolutely three sheets to the wind.
True.
You know, crying about his wife, whose photo is in very much black and white. It looks like the kind of photo Abe Lincoln was. I mean, it was like the oldest photograph I've ever seen in my life.
Yes.
Was that was his wife, or was that his mother? Like
That
that
was his
photo was like
wife.
200
Yeah.
years old.
200 years. You're entirely right. Yeah, it looked
Yeah, I
like it
was
was
like.
at least circa like 1870. There's no way that that came from like
No.
early 1940s or whenever, you know. Yeah, they should have done their research on that one. I thought it added a little bit of humanity to his character, a little bit of you know, yes, it was an undisciplined moment, and there's not a lot of, you know, character building, like maybe for other characters, like, you know, like the mystery of his mother, who seems, you know, now I'm kind of thinking that his mom might just be like a real piece of shit.
He's a deadbeat.
Yeah, she's a
100%
deadbeat.
deadbeat.
Yeah.
Yeah, deadbeat. Yeah.
She doesn't even have any
Yeah.
suitors, you know? All right. After two.
Can we talk about how his mom just completely disappears halfway through? Like, there's the scene on the first date where his mom, like, picks him up. They have the comical moment where the car won't start. And then she is just gone. He goes through birthday.
That's
His
true, yeah.
birthday happens. You never see his mother. He starts the karate tournament. You never see his mother until the very end of
And she
it. She
shows up
makes
at the
an appearance
yeah.
with
Only
Elizabeth Shue, like cheering him on. Like, what the fuck did you come from?
after he's won, right? Like she has to, you know, he has to make a name for himself first, then she'll
Yeah,
support him.
some mother. She's not there opening round. She's not there round two, three, four. No. He has to make the semifinals for mom to show up. Like, I get you. Okay. Dad still never showed up. He's still in Newark. You know,
Yeah.
wondering where everybody is.
Yeah, we don't know much about his dad, do we? So, you know, the thing about this movie is it struck such a chord with so many people, you know, sparked an interest in martial arts and karate as well in the United States. I don't know if that can be 100% traced to this. I mean, you also had like Jackie Chan and Bruce Lee coming out with like banger after banger around this time as well. So maybe it was a little bit of all of that. But, you know, since the Karate Kid Part 2, Part 3, I never saw those movies, by the way. There's been multiple failed attempts to kind of reinvent the series with the next Karate Kid in 1994 and the Karate Kid in 2010. And those pretty much failed. I mean, there might be some fans out there who liked some of them. I looked at their IMDb ratings. They're kind of all, you know, in the six range, which, you know, that's typically like okay territory. But, you know, in a world where we live just like with tons of content, you can probably find better. But Cobra
So
Kai
I,
is awesome. And I think that that really is like launched this series into another stratosphere from being, you know, already incredibly popular, but now it's something that, like, you know, the next generation can hang on to. And I recommend you watch it, Tab. It's really good.
So I've heard great things about Cobra Kai, and one of the things I have heard is that there seems to be a switch from villain and hero, where Daniel-san becomes the villain and the Cobra Kai guy kind of becomes the hero, which I thought was really fine. I mean, just to kind of like do that. But I've seen Karate Kid 2, and I actually, from what I remember, I enjoyed it more than the first one. I probably have to go back and watch it again. But I think I enjoyed that when they go to Japan. I guess they go to Okinawa, where Miyagi's from. And I did not realize this, that I thought Okinawa was the city in Japan.
Same.
It is not. It is an island very far south of Japan. Like, I don't know the exact distance, but I mean, you look it up on Google Maps, it's out there.
Yeah.
So I guess it's considered part of Japan, but, you know, Japan being an island itself has other islands that kind of make up the country, and it is way out there. Like, it is down there. Which I thought was kind of shocking. I remember there's one with Hilary Swank. Was that the next Karate Kid?
Yeah, that was the next Karate Kid.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And then I remember seeing one in, like, I guess you said 2010, one that had Jackie Chan and I believe Will Smith's son.
Yep, that's right.
I liked that one.
Did you?
I saw that one when I did. I think I saw that around 2010. Wasn't in theaters or anything, but I saw it at home. And I remember thinking, like, okay. Like,
and that's just that's basically kind of a remake, right?
It's similar, yeah. But I thought the fighting was way better because you have Jackie Chan, and it just seemed more fast paced.
Like, I watched the trailer, and that's the first thing I noticed was like they got like some real choreography going on here. It looks, and you know, with modern filming techniques and stuff too, it just looked like the hits had impact, you know. And
yes.
That is one thing you see, which I find it kind of charming in The Karate Kid. It's like, yeah, like all the camera angles are, you know, multiple feet back. So, you know, it's kind of like watching a stunt show at Six Flags or something, you know, like someone could be hitting somebody like 2 inches away and they're just flying back. So,
yeah. And then there's one scene in the tournament where Johnny is like semifinals and takes a guy to the mat and then punches him in the face. And that punch is clearly 24 inches away from his face. Like, could not have been further away. And they're like, point. I'm like, point for what? You didn't even touch him.
Right. That's, yeah. For sure. The fighting could probably be a little more realistic.
It's horrible.
So let's get to our film review of this movie. What worked for you and what didn't overall watching this movie, you know, 40 years after its release and, you know, maybe 30 years since you've seen it for the first time? I'm generalizing, obviously.
What worked for me was that it was a great capture of a moment in time. Arcades hit. I mean, obviously, it was filmed in 84 and it was representing 1984. So, you know, it's not like they filmed it in 2020 and just did a really good job of like recreating the 80s. So this was the 80s. And in that sense, it was a nice, you know, showcase of the 1984 arcade scene. Hell, the first date they went on where they did like arcade, putt-putt, go-karts, trampoline. Oh my God, I would have loved that. I would have loved that.
Like, yeah, that's an incredible date.
Would have loved it. You know, there was no internet. All the cars were old. It did a really good job from that. I thought the soundtrack was great. You know, kind of a mixture of what you expect from a 1980s movie mixed in with a lot of kind of what I would think of as traditional Japanese, you know, woodwind instrument music, which I love.
That's true. I never really thought about that. But yeah, it definitely, you know, it sets that place for Miyagi's dojo.
So that's about where my flattery ends. Because going back and watching it, I really did not enjoy it.
Really?
Did not, no.
That's surprising.
I did not think it held up, to be honest with you.
Interesting. I did. I thought it held up pretty well. I really like coming of age movies, and I like movies where teenagers, the dialogue's not extremely cheesy and it sounds sort of realistic. I feel like Spielberg did that really well. And, you know, this, it varies. Like sometimes it's extremely campy, but for me, everything that didn't work in this movie, I almost had to give it a pass while I was watching it just because I was like, well, this was just a part of that time. It was just a part of that era. And I found myself really entertained. Now, I will say that, like, this was not a part of my childhood. It was one of those movies that, you know, we probably all grew up with those movies where we had seen so many scenes of a movie on cable that we kind of knew the general gist of it. And that was The Karate Kid for me. But I never actually sat down and watched it all the way through until I watched Cobra Kai, you know, 6 years ago when it came out. And then I went down and then I sat down and watched it. And the first time I rewatched it in 2018, I was like, that was pretty good. This time, you know, it's probably been 5 years or so. I found myself liking it a lot more. I think it's because I had separated myself from that show, which, by the way, is like, I don't know if it's rated TV-MA, but it probably should be. Like, it is really intense. Like, Johnny Lawrence is like a hard alcoholic and just the funniest, like, cliche. I don't even know. He's not like anti-woke, but like his character, without being anti-woke, because he wouldn't even know what that is like the most like un-PC character of all time. Like he talks and swears like he is in like 2007 HBO comedy. Like, it's incredible. I can't even believe that it was like greenlit. But so anyway, coming to Karate Kid from that, I wasn't expecting it to be as much of a PG film, I think, the first time. But now, like, kind of going in this time, I was like, this works for me, and I get it. I really think Miyagi pulls a lot of weight in this. I think he has a lot of heart, and I think that relationship between him and Daniel was really good. So I thought it aged quite well. And that comes from a guy who did not necessarily grow up with it as well. So maybe I didn't have the same expectations.
Yeah. I mean, I grew up with it. I saw it when I was a child. Like, I don't know how young I was, but I was a kid. I was definitely under 10 when I saw it.
Right.
You know, so it for me to rewatch it, and I think I've maybe rewatched half of it or the whole thing at some point in the last 30 years, but to rewatch it, I actually just finished it at 8:30 tonight, and here it is.
We're getting the fresh opinions.
Fresh opinions. And I just don't think it held up. I thought it was nice to go back and kind of revisit 1980s. I thought that was nice. I thought the music was well done. I really think from a non-action standpoint, just from a dialogue standpoint, I thought Daniel-san did a really good job.
I agree.
I think Ralph Macchio did a fantastic job. Like, there was moments where, like you said, it really felt like this wasn't a movie. You were just, like, the camera was on and some kid was just doing his thing, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it felt very genuine. Yeah, I appreciated that, but I didn't appreciate the whole package, you know.
Yeah, I will say that, like, the movie, even though it's a kid's movie, has a certain maturity in its pacing. It is not a fast-paced movie. It has no rush to get anywhere.
Horrible pacing. Horrible.
I thought it was nice. But if you look at, like, Metacritic or critics' reviews from the era, it was like a 61 overall, and that was the big... From a lot of the reviews I read, that was the biggest complaint, was the pacing was terrible. It was too slow, etc.
Let me ask you this. How long do you think it was in time from the time where they challenged the Cobra Kai to the tournament, to the actual tournament? How many days do you think it was?
It's like 1 month almost, like a month and change.
It's 6 weeks. Yeah. 6 weeks. Yeah, they late October. They went to a fire on Halloween. Yep. I assume the next day, we'll say November 1, they show up to the dojo. December 19th. Yeah. So you got 6 weeks and like 6.5 weeks. That's it. And in which case, he does zero fighting. Zero. That's why I do not consider this a sports movie.
True.
One of my favorite sports movies, League of Their Own. Okay, that movie is sports the whole movie. It's like sports.
I've never seen that. So.
If you've not seen that, that is a top five sports movie of all time. League of Their Own, fantastic. That's a sports movie. You know, Major League, that's a sports movie. This is not a sports movie. This is, and I didn't think it was a comedy until halfway through. Like, it started, they had some punchlines that kind of hit. Like,
yeah.
Started about halfway in. You can't laugh the first half of the movie because it's just some teenager getting his ass beat over and over. And doesn't matter where they're sitting, in the lunchroom, you could be at soccer practice, you could be walking home. Like, he was never safe. Like, this kid was never safe.
Yeah, he is. There's some real bullying going on here.
Yeah, and the pacing was horrible. And I feel like he went completely unprepared into this tournament. Here he's fighting all these kids who are like black belts. He's stealing black belts. He's not a belt at all. He's no belt. He's no belt. And they steal a black belt from some guy.
That was sly. And there's another character malfunction from Mr. Miyagi, who not only steals a black belt, but also knows how to like put on a little bit of a hustle there at the competition. It was impressive.
Who is this guy? He's no discipline. He's getting hammer drunk. Okay. Hammer drunk, which I've been hammer drunk a million times in my life. I'm not proud of it. All right. But I'm also, you know, not a teacher. I don't have children that are relying on me. He's getting hammer drunk. He's stealing from people. He's manipulating his way into just what? Just having a girl on the sidelines? Like, she couldn't have sat in the stands?
That's a, yeah, like, what is that all about? She can't sit on the stands. She has to come and sit next to y'all? That's ridiculous.
She has to be on the mat. And how'd the mom get on the mat? Because later on, when mom finally makes an appearance, or, you know, her 27-day shift down at the restaurant finally ends, and we see her for the first time, she's down on the mat with Elizabeth Shue. I'm like, who are you? Are you another translator? I even wrote my notes. I was like, where's mom? It's like, mom is, I was like, did the actress die? Like, did they fire her? Like,
we'll
like,
just I don't eliminate her from the story.
She just got written out like that Cosby kid that went up the stairs and you never saw her again. Like, they never talked about her.
I think it was Cosby because
maybe it was Family Matters. One of the two shows had a daughter that was in, like, the first four seasons or something. I could be way off on the time frame. And after like 4 years, she just like goes upstairs and say goodnight, and you just never see her again. Just written off the show. They do like five more seasons. No mention of her. Doesn't exist. Just lost a daughter.
That's
what I thought happened to mom. She missed his birthday. Like, she's not there for any of the training. None of the comeuppance. This movie is extremely oddly paced. To the point where I'm sitting here going, I'm like, the tournament's tomorrow, and this kid is about to get destroyed. Okay. He's had no training. All he's done is paint a fence. He painted a house. He waxed a car. He's about to get waxed.
He stood on
round one, stood on a boat, and then he's down 0-2. I'm assuming it's first to three. And then he realizes, like, oh, okay, I'm allowed to strike back. And where does he get any of this training from? I have no clue. None of this made any sense. Like, he didn't. Like, all the crap that Miyagi taught him, wax on, wax off, zero usage when the tournament starts.
Yeah,
it's just Daniel's son
all
standing here like this and just like, yeah, it's like throat punching people. I'm like, where did you pick this up? It was bananas. Oh,
okay, all right. I'll give you this. It's not a sports film.
No.
Well, I guess we're 40 years into the movie, from the movie's launch, and do you think this film will age well? Is kind of like, for 40 years, I would say that you don't think it holds up now. Public opinion, I would say, up to this point, has said that it has, because it's still wildly popular.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah.
So in the next 40 years, I think that some of the, you know, some of the things that we've been talking about here are not going to hold up so well. But I think what's interesting about this franchise is it continues to reinvent itself. So it will probably still be around in some shape, form, fashion. The whole story of like a underground or under, what am I trying to say?
Underdog,
bullied kid coming back from, you know, the bullies and then becoming like karate champion. You could tell that story a number of ways, and it's probably going to hit with a lot of people.
Here's another thing I didn't like. I hate to interrupt. Here's another thing I didn't like. Is this kid's bullied him to know, like, they were kicking him down hills. They were physically assaulting this kid over and over and over. And then you sweep one leg. You sweep one leg. And this guy's like, I'm sorry, Daniel. I'm sorry. You swept the leg. You pushed him down a fucking hill. Like, you left him to die. Like, you didn't even go down the hill to, like, check on him. You just fucking threw this kid down a hill. And you left his corpse down there. And then you sweep the leg. And that's when you finally find the heart. Get the, like, what? And then you got Johnny, who loses. Okay, Johnny finally, hey, man of conviction. This might have been where the character of Johnny started to grow up, 1984. Hands him the trophy and says, you did it, Daniel.
Yeah, what was that? That was weird. I was like, no, dude, you just lost. I don't care what kind of competitor you are, especially somebody who won the championship last year. That is not what you're going to say to somebody.
You're throwing the trophy down like you threw the radio, and you're causing a scene. That's what you're doing.
Right. Yeah.
The sportsmanship.
Yeah, I'm sure his what do you call his sensei was not very pleased with that action.
God no.
I don't know.
Oh, do you remember at one point when he was in the dojo and you were seeing the sensei's photo on the wall and it says like 1970, 1972 U.S. Army, and below it just says Karate Champ.
Is that the one where he's holding a gun?
Yeah, he's holding like an M16. Yeah, it's the woods. It's a Predator. And it just says like 1970, 1972 U.S. Army, 1972, 1974 Karate Champion. Get the fuck out. Get out of here.
The ultimate badass.
Yeah.
If he misses with the M16, he'll take care of you with his hands. All right, so what would you give this out of 5 stars in 2024?
Give it 2.5.
Two and a half stars. Wow.
2.5 out of 5. I tell you, the reason is, from a film standpoint, not great. I thought the pacing was horrible. The acting had its moments. Casting was great. Sound was great. Plot, I mean, it just seems so weird. Like, it drug out so long before he gets any tutelage from Miyagi. And then it's like, okay, tutelage minutes. Time, credits.
I paused it. I think it was 47 minutes and some odd change. Now, don't quote me on that. But, like, I remember looking at the time on my bar whenever they started training. I was like, holy shit, it took almost an hour to get here.
And the training was not training. It was painting houses. It was doing yard work. And then he goes into the tournament with completely unprepared, wins out of nowhere, breaks his leg like 4 times.
This is kind of like the same thing with Rocky, though, right? Isn't he like training in like a meat plant with like a bunch of dead cows and stuff? Have you seen?
Yeah,
the original
but he's run? Actually throwing punches. Daniel didn't throw a single punch.
No,
until
there's that one
showtime.
Is there not that one scene where Miyagi teaches him how to punch a dummy? There's one scene.
Yeah, that was like the last scene before the tournament.
Right before the tournament.
And he was
like,
all right, look at the time. Oh, yeah, tournament tomorrow. Okay, punch that dummy. All right, you're good. You'll be fine. You'll be fine.
All right, well, I'm going to give this...
I just got to steal a black belt. You'll be all right.
I am going to give this 4 stars. I thought it held up quite well. The pacing didn't bother me nearly as much because I enjoyed the whole... I think the dance scene, the Halloween dance scene, is kind of a classic that has been riffed on and kind of redone multiple times. I loved the scenes in the arcade. That was cool. Definitely some nostalgia there for me in those places. Like you said, like the whole like putt-putt golf, that kind of stuff. Very fun, very cool. And I also really thought it was hilarious the way class is shown in this film. It's like unlike anything else that I've ever seen. Like all the rich kids have dirt bikes and they just like chase down the poor kid on the pedal bike, which is interesting and funny. So there are like some things that I thought were enjoyable and I had a good time throughout. Is this movie going to change your life? No. Is it going to teach you about self-discipline? You know, how to be better at anything? No. But it's fun. I thought it was fun. So for me, 4 stars.
I thought it would have benefited from being 30 minutes shorter and cut out some of the nonsense. You could have tightened it up. Maybe he only gets beat up 3 times instead of 4. Like, you know, there's just some things that could have been cut. And if it had been a 90-minute movie, I would have enjoyed it more. 2 hours, it just dragged on. And then I'm sitting here looking at it like, there's like 25 minutes left, and this kid has not done anything to get ready for this tournament. And then the tournament starts, and he wins it because, of course, he's Daniel's son. So
he somehow learned how to do the crane kick without any direct instruction, so... That was impressive. Well, I recommend to you the Cobra Kai show is 28-minute episodes. And like I said, you get to follow around a 40-year-old alcoholic who's just his life's completely ruined. And it's hilarious. All right. That is all the time we have here. But you can write into us at Blast to the Past podcast and tell us what you think about The Karate Kid and what you think we should look to in a future episode to give our opinions on. We'll see you next time.
Thank you.
All right. How do I do this?